Okay, well, we're going to get into separation in talking about keeping the kids here, dealing with basically separating them from pop culture, and which is a very important topic, and we're only going to talk about a small portion of it today, but which is okay, because we don't need to go in that deep today. We're going to go in deeper with a few other things, some things that we've already kind of learned and you've already learned that we've taught on years ago, and that we've all tried to follow. Amen. So, but I want to talk about that. 1 Corinthians 15:33 in our Bibles. There's a principle here laid down that's a very important one for all of us in our own personal sanctification, but also in raising our children. And that is this: be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Amen? And very true, evil communication corrupt good manners. Father, Lord, help us as we dig in deep here to this with the scriptures and with understanding, Lord, to try to grow thereby and raise our children and keep every single one of them, Lord, that we pray that you would, Lord, and keep them spotted from this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, parents can do many things right, but if they do not unplug their children from that modern pop culture, they will probably lose them to the world. Paul warns us not to be deceived about this, because evil communication most certainly does corrupt good manners. Every form of communication with evil corrupts the God-ordained manner of Christian living, whether that communication comes from friendships, books, television, internet, music, associates at work, the public school, or whatever the case may be. It could be a number of different areas where our children can be influenced by pop culture, or we can be influenced by pop culture, right? And because the devil's always preaching his message. He's always preaching it. He never stops preaching, does he? And his ministers of unrighteousness never stop preaching their message, ever. One pastor said this: what I find happening is that Hollywood has such a hold in our homes with the DVDs and things of that nature, that even though in our church most homeschool and they have a good religious background, yet there's that undercurrent of worldliness. That concerns me as a pastor. It concerns me with our own children. There does seem to be that matter of becoming comfortable with the status quo. We see this with children where they want to fit in. You see that really in every area of life, as we have seen the church grow, he said here in his church, I find that adults do that also. Kids just don't hide it like adults do. Everyone wants to fit in rather than having the Bible as our sole rule for faith and practice and getting our principles from it and saying, no matter what the crowd does, this is what we are going to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That has to be the principle, because I'll tell you what, you're going to be challenged by a thousand different points of light, so to speak, from the world that's trying to allure you and your children. And they do it through pop culture. One man said this: I can only relate my own mistakes in raising two daughters in the church. I allowed the popular culture to affect them. I believed the satanic lie that some movies, TV shows, music, magazines, etc. are worse than others, and let my girls indulge in the less offensive worldly amusements. I regret this and wish that I'd opened my eyes to the damage that anything worldly can cause. Christ said that you're either for me or against me. Both of my daughters profess salvation, but neither attends a church. Both attended Christian school for 12 years and went to Christian colleges. I am constantly under conviction for failing them to protect them from the taste of the world that led them from the church. So it's something that we have to be careful of. We have to guard against is pop culture and its lessons that it teaches. It wants to, pop culture, Satan's culture, basically, Hollywood, whatever you want to call it, they have a message that they're preaching. They are still preaching a message to you. They haven't been sanctified, they're not right, and they don't love the truth. And they have a message that they preach. God demands that his people separate from the evil things of the world, from the anti-God world system that was created by Cain's sons under direction during the early days of man's rebellion. In Genesis chapter 4, we see that Cain went out and made his own nation, didn't he? He had his ideas and they weren't God's. The Bible gives us an answer. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 4, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. The scriptures warn us in Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world. This world will try to conform your children, will try to conform you, and will try to work as hard as they can to influence your children. That's the way Satan works. And you and I have to understand that there has to be who is going to influence our children more. Are we going to be the number one influence in our children's life with the scriptures, or are we going to allow others to do that? Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17, turn there, please. Wherefore, come out from among them, verse number 17, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. God is calling his people to come out from among the world. Come out from among them. Come out of the world. And in every aspect of our life, it's part of it. I mean, you're never going to get around that God wants his children to be separated. Yeah, we're going to be in the world. We're going to walk amongst them. And we're going to have to suffer them in some things. But God intends his people to be separate from the world. He calls them out of the world. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, when you see the unfruitful works of darkness and you see it starting to creep into your home or into your child through many different things, whether it's books. The other day, my son was he told me about something that he'd read in one of his books that he had, and I told him, well, son, what do you think you ought to do with that book? I didn't make the decision for him. I talked to him about it. I'm trying to teach him to think. I was like, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about what that's teaching? Is that a good lesson? Is that a good message? No. Okay, well, what do you think you ought to do with it? Well, I think I ought to throw it away. I think it's a good idea. Right? We ought not be afraid to teach our children to use that. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What was that doing, reproving the unfruitful works of darkness? It's using that as an example and say, okay, I'm going to teach you to think. Titus chapter 2, verse number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're to live godly, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. James chapter 1, verse number 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widow in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted. James 4, 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. We can't be a friend of the world, nor worldliness, which is not, worldliness is a mindset. It's pop culture is definitely a big proponent of worldliness. It is a teacher of worldliness, exactly what it does. It infiltrates and it teaches. John chapter 2, turn there, John chapter 2, or 1 John chapter 2, excuse me. We are warned, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You know, Western pop culture that permeates society today preaches do your own thing. Kind of like Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt. Shall be the whole of the law, right? Do what thou wilt. Just do what thou wilt. That's what pop culture teaches. Do your own thing. But it undermines the Bible message of submission to God and submission to parents and submission to them that have the rule over you and all those things. See, you can't take your children to church on Sunday and on Wednesday and put the Bible in front of them and then put things in front of them, whether it's television or movies or if it's, you know, raunchy video games or something of that nature, and you're showing them wicked things or magic or wizards or anything else like that. Put all that in front of them, that rebellion in front of them, and then expect that they're not going to react to that. That's not going to influence them, because it is. Or leave them on the internet unattended and let them do whatever they want on the internet with no oversight. Or here's a number one dumb thing you can do. Hand them a smartphone and let them have it. Buy them a smartphone. That's smart. That's great. Do you know that there's these kids that go to school every day and they literally have smartphones? I mean, little kids, little children, your son, like John's age back there. And they're running around with smartphones. Can you imagine? I know how bad I was without a smartphone when I was John's age. How old are you, John? 10. Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember how bad I was when I was 10. Can you even fathom a 10-year-old walking around with a smartphone, doing whatever they want to do? Scary stuff, isn't it? Pop culture with its sensual music, immodest fashion, and fun philosophy is a powerful magnet for our fallen flesh, and countless young people in Christian homes have been drawn away by its siren song. They're lured away. They can be lured away. You and I can be lured away by it. Let alone them, what chance do they have? Right? Christian parents and church leaders must do everything possible to unplug the young people from the pop culture. Pastor Terry Coomer, he said this, listen to me very carefully. If you desire to rear spiritual children, you have to make a decision in your life to be the main influence in your children's life. Three of the most corrupting influences upon our children today are television, music, and friends. Do not be deceived, folks. The devil wants our culture to rear our children. Oh, let the culture lead. Oh, just do whatever you want. I mean, this is why I'm shortening this, okay? But just think about this for a second. Like, they're having, like, five-year-olds, like, make decisions about gender, like what gender they're going to be. Oh, they knew when they were three what gender. Man, they knew what gender they wanted to be when they were three. Are you stupid? I know, I'm mean. I'm the mean guy that says stuff like that. That people get mad, but you think about that for a second, right? Because that's what they do. They're telling us that your little child is supposed to tell you what gender they are. And you're supposed to go along with it. Like the child is the parent, and you're the kid. But see, that's what pop culture teaches. By the way, like he said, some of the number one influences are, you know, internet, television, friends. I want you to think about that something. Even in our church, this is why I believe young people should be supervised. I do. Why? Because I understand that children lack discernment. Many times children don't know when they're crossing a line. They really don't understand it. They don't get it. Why? Well, the Bible says you teach them discretion. And they don't realize when they're crossing a line or they're doing something foolish or they're going beyond what they should or they're getting carried away or whatever else, right? So this is why I believe even here, especially with our young men and our young women, and the older you get, I want to promise you it'll get worse for me as far as wanting to keep an eye. And it's not because I think you're wicked or anything else like that. I just think you're human. And I care about your purity. I don't just care about your purity in the physical sense of your purity, but your mind and your emotional sense. Do you understand what I mean? It's not because I just want to be big and mean, and I am kind of that, but that's not the reason why. Why is it? Because I know what can happen when we don't follow good principles. I know what can happen. You say, I have no intention of doing wrong. I know that. I believe that. You have to understand, like, I believe that. But when you talk to older people like us, and you tell us that, well, my intentions, I don't have any intentions doing that. Well, I totally believe you. And you know how many times in my life I never had any intentions to do wrong and ended up in it? Right? You know, you look at in the scriptures, you look at Dinah who went out, and I don't really think that she had any intentions of, the Bible gives no indications that Dinah had any intentions of sleeping with that man. Or she just went out to see the daughters of the land. Just hang out with her friends unsupervised. Yeah. Hang out with the friends unsupervised. What's that? That is how it works. And that's why even at church and even around but it's also the what you have to understand, it's also the conversation that I'm concerned with. It's your conversation that I'm concerned with, too. Because I know where foolish jesting, I know where conversation can go. Because we big boys have to watch what we say, too, don't we? Because you get us all in the van together, and sometimes we could say too much, can't we, Brother Paul? We can say too much. Sometimes we can say too much. I know. Right? But we can't we? We know what it's like. So as men, if we're capable of doing that, I know children are much more capable. You see what I mean? That's why even, you know, with my sons and everything else, my son and my daughters, I'm very careful about the conversation and everything else. That's not because I think evil. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being wise and caring about you. I want to see you cross. I want to see you cross, go up to that threshold. I want to see you go to that altar and get married and in purity, in holiness, in clear mind, clear heart. Amen. Peace with God, the peace of God. That's why. Right? That's why. I want our young men to learn how to talk to young ladies when they're around. I want our young men to understand the proper way to talk to young ladies if they do address them and how to talk to them. I want our young ladies to understand the proper deportment when they're around young men. Amen. As your parents do the same thing as they're teaching you. That's why. I'll be very clear with you in case you haven't figured it out. I absolutely loathe, hate, disgusted with, and absolutely despise youth groups. I hate them because I've watched what they do to children. I've been to more than one, and I know what happens. Right? But Andrew's grew up with them his whole life pretty much, Andrew. What do you think about what I say about youth groups? His whole life he's been in fundamental Baptist churches. So I'm not coming for somebody that just, I got saved out of the world. And what I found out when I came to church and I looked at youth groups, they were all worldly. I was like, you know what? I threw a book away from the sword of the Lord the other day. Amen. Sword of the Lord. See ya. I ripped that sucker in half and threw it right in the trash. You know why? Because the first thing I saw in that book, one of the first things I saw when it was like raising godly young men and all this stuff, the first thing, what do you think one of the first things is they had in there? Well, no, not that. What's that? Pretty much, it was the banquet thing. And they had in there the banquet thing right away. Oh, you gotta, they gotta know how to, they gotta have a banquet. So your daughter's gotta dress in a mock prom dress. She's gotta come to the, they gotta come and they, and your, and the son's gotta do, get the tuxedo on or whatever, and they got to have a they got to have a banquet. I'll tell you, I watched the Christian schools push this stuff. I was part of a church that did. And I'm telling you, I threw it away. I was like, why is that? Because your daughters don't need to do that. Right? The fathers and mothers can teach their sons and daughters how to treat ladies and how to treat a young man the proper way. They can teach that. Right, and etiquette right at home. That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. So you don't need that. I don't like it, and that's why I don't like it. I know where it leads to. But see, here's the problem. Some of you children, your mind might think, well, Pastor Klee, maybe you're just like, you just don't understand. No, I do understand. I do. And it has to do with young human nature and how easily it can be corrupted, influenced, manipulated. Right? Secret conversations, things like that. Conversations that are not, you know, with a watchful eye, just kind of taking a look at the things. Have you never had to correct one of your children when their conversation went the wrong way? Well, when you get them all together, that's how they can be. Right? That's the way it is. And it's wise to teach them through scenarios like that, situations like that, and to have adults around. It's just wise when you're raising children. Why? Because friends can corrupt. You know what? Look, I'll pick on my son for a minute here. But I know full well if you get Lucius and you get Pete, I'm picking on you, Pete, and Micah, you get all three of those guys together, and you might have the three amigos or the three stooges. I don't know which. But I'm telling you, I know that long periods of time of no suit, I know what they do in front of us, right, Ryan? Long periods of time of boys together, they're going to get in trouble. They just are. So if there was unsupervised conversation with girls like that for long periods of time or even for periods, what would happen? They're going to say something dumb. Because he comes from my DNA. So I know he's going to say something dumb. Okay? It's going to happen. Hey, I don't have any problem with it. I already know it. I know it. Right? So, I mean, that's why I'm careful about this. Can you be too careful? I'm just curious. Can you be? People tell us that they act like it's a crime to be careful. Like we're not supposed to be careful with the most precious commodity that God has given us. Oh, they're just kids. Leave them alone. You know what I did when I was alone when I was a kid? I won't even tell you. I can't. Bring it this mother to shame. That's right. So we're careful about it. See, the many children will listen to their peers before they'll listen to you. If you allow it to be that way, again, you must make a decision to be the most important influence in the child's life. Pastor Sorensen said this, the closer the Christian family gets to the world, the greater the chances are of the world getting your children. It's playing with fire. and the worst losers will be your children. You see, the world is the devil's system. Look, I'm watching a family online. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to tell your name or anything, but I'm watching a family online in the ministry, pastoral, in the ministry. I preached hard for years, preached good sound doctrine, everything else like that. I'm literally watching that family drop every standard. When I say everyone, I mean every standard that they ever held to. Dancing, music, movies, tight britches on the girls. I mean, from wearing long skirts like that. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. If you're going to go ahead and do that, you just count it right now. You'll never get them back. And if you do, it'll be the absolute, it'll obviously be the grace of God and his extended mercy to you, supernaturally extending you mercy. Don't change for your children. Don't do that. I can't do it for mine. Like that kid, like that lady's, that was a boy. That boy, transgender, weird thing on the street, kept trying to say, well, what if your son did this? Well, then my son's going to bear the cost of that. And unfortunately, I'm going to tell him that unfortunately, he's going to have to deal with God over it. But you know what? I'm going to preach the truth to him. I'm not going to stop living for God because, look, I'm not going to stop living for God because you do. Amen. Are you? Are you going to stop living for God because your children do? You might be tested by that someday. Right? I'm not going to sell out and change the way we dress and change the way we live and everything else just to make one person happy because one child went away and then the rest of them, that's what happened to this family. One child went their own way. They said, oh, we must have been too hard, so now we're just going to turn the total opposite direction. Yeah. By the way, this is not a man just taking, he's a pastor. You understand that? So all those people that followed him, that watched him and everything else, he's going the exact other way. And his wife is more brazen than he is at it. And braggadocious, and they're bragging about it. Like they want an argument with somebody. So somebody will say something to him. I'm about ready to drop the truth bomb and walk away. Boom! Okay, there it is. But I'm going to tell you something. If you do that, you may not get them back. You see, the world is the devil's system. It may be defined as the society and culture of the ungodly. Many Christian parents may claim to distance themselves from the world, but they still like to flirt with the things that are in the world. The things that are in the world are the bait that Satan uses to catch your children. Beware. Many times the parents get their children wrapped up in the things of this world. The parents are concerned about their children loving the Lord, but they are just as concerned with their kids playing organized sports, becoming popular, being fashionable, seeing the latest movies, making a lot of money, having the newest video game systems, acquiring every type of technology without proper accountability. Through it all, dad and mom are sowing thorns that choke the seed of the Word of God. This is especially true with sports, fun, and such come before any of the aspects of the New Testament ministry. They get him so hooked on sports that it's like an addiction for him. Yep. Yep. No, we keep him in prison, locked up at night in cages. I mean, we do throw the meat between the bars, though, so they do get to eat. Are you going to let them? No, do they have to? That's true, they do. And they do shoot big 50 cal, or what size is that, Paul? 58 caliber black powder guns, rifles. Right. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? Hey, they throw around a football. but they're not enslaved. You know what I see on Sunday morning? Every morning I walk down this road over there, all these little league kids, none of them are in church, and they're all playing baseball out there on Sunday morning. They're up at like 8 o'clock in the morning over there at that field, and they're at it at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? Yep. Yeah. Right, and some of them stay in hotel rooms, and they're gone for like our days at a time at tournaments and everything. And they got like one gay chaperone that's probably some pervert anyway. They like, you trust the public school. Right. Right, and there's so many variables that have nothing to do with them with the game either. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ken Ham said this. He said, I think most parents have a wrong understanding of the teaching about the broad way and the narrow way. Many of us think of Christians being on one road that represents the narrow way, and that there's a separate road representing a broad way that non-Christians are moving on. As Paul makes clear in passages such as Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The point is that Christians live in the same world as the non-Christian. In reality, the narrow way is within the broad way going the opposite direction. We don't go the same way they go. We go the other way. Most are on the broad way to destruction, sweeping along everyone else with them. It takes a lot of work to drag our children in the opposite direction against the tide because we have to work hard against the sin nature. The natural desires of the flesh, secular humanism, peer pressure, and compromise. How successful we are at this very much depends on how much we have saturated our children's souls with the truth of God's word and modeled for them an authentic relationship with Christ. Amen. Being real, right? Wise Christian parents will constantly be on the guard to keep the world out of the home. One pastor said, I've got 6 boys, and every time when one would get to that place where I would need to explain to them the facts of life, I would take them fishing. I can remember when 2 of my sons were in the boat, I said, guys, is there anything that we have in the house that causes you to struggle? And they chose one old John Wayne movie. And I said, when we get home, you can get that for me. You get that for me. Sometimes I think that we parents, because of our marriage and callousness, it doesn't bother us, or we have hardened ourselves to things. But we need to think about the young, impressionable minds. Since that time, I've asked all my children if there's anything that we have in the house that we need to get rid of. Whatever they say, we follow through on it. I also exhort parents in my church to ask themselves if there's anything in the home that they need to get rid of. I guarantee you that if you pray that prayer, if you haven't done it all while, God will show you something. Amen. So God will show you there's something you need to just ditch or get rid of or quit doing or not have any part of, right? Parents have to closely oversee their children's lives. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Parents must lovingly and jealously oversee everything their children do, their education, their entertainment, and their friends. You and I have to know what's happening in our children's lives and hearts. Need to communicate with them. We need to talk to them. I always find out something new when I talk to my children. My son, if we go for a walk, and I think it was a week ago or so, Mandy and I went for a long walk and talked, and I always find some new things out, things that they're maybe dealing with or thinking about, things that are on their hearts. Children need to be able to talk to their parents. They need to have an open relationship in that sense with their parents that they're willing to communicate with them. And you need to probe their heart and find out what's in it. You need to ask them questions. Ask your children questions. When you notice things or patterns or anything else, ask them about that. You fathers, You need to take your daughters out sometime and just spend a little time with them and talk with them. Do it. Spend some time with them. Talk with them. That's awkward. Yeah, probably is. But it's good. They need it, though. They need a dad to talk to. Why? Because someday they're gonna be looking for a husband. And you need to love them. And you need to show them that you're there for them and that they trust your judgment. That trust is built at those times, in times of trials and challenges. Take your daughters out and spend some time with them. Take your sons out, too. I mean, Lucius and I, we try to go probably once a night. We try to walk a couple miles if we can. Sometimes we don't get it done, but we just go talk. Right? Don't say you don't have time. You got plenty of time. Take your daughters out and have a conversation with them. Talk to them about their life. Don't worry. They'll spill the beans. They'll start talking to you. Once you take an interest, they'll run out like a motor mouth. They'll just let it all go. Tell you what, when a woman finds out she actually has a man's ear, she'll talk that thing off. When that one falls off, she'll do it to the other one. Right? Your daughters, they need that, though. I'm serious. They need that communication. And it's not just mom. Mom can't be the only one that does it. It's got to be dad. They need to know how much their dad loves them. They need to know how much their dad cares about how they're feeling, what they're going through, you know, the changes of life that come upon them and just everything that happens in life. The future and what they see in the future and what their idea of life really is and all those other things. And you'll find out spiritually where they're at and you'll find out where you can strengthen them and help them. See, I've never done that before. Well, now's as good a time as any. Well, not right now. Wait till I'm done. But now's as good a time. That's okay that you've never done that. Guess what? I guarantee you they're not going to resent it when you do. They're not going to be like, well, Dad, you never did this before, so never mind. They're not going to do that to you. They're not going to. They're going to be blessed because you take an interest in them. It doesn't have to be something complex. It could be something simple, just running somewhere to the store, running in and doing something and an errand or something. And then he's like, okay, well, let's talk. Right? Little by little. And you take that time with each one of them and you'll find new things out. And sometimes you'll just laugh, especially with the little ones. Like that size right there. And Prudence having that conversation. Oh, those are funny conversations. You'll never forget them. But the older you get, the older they get, the more you're going to want those conversations with them. Amen? Let's do that. All right? The Bible warns that evil communication corrupts good manners, and that applies to every sort of evil communication, whether it be speech, writing, visual, or personal. Even personal relationships with relatives, such as with grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, must be carefully guarded. If the parent sees that a particular relationship is becoming harmful spiritually, he must step in and deal with the matter in godly wisdom. Grandparents can be a godly influence or an ungodly depending on their relationship with God and their level of spiritual wisdom and discernment. We're going to talk about grandparents sometime in the future. But I'll tell you what, sometimes I've had to say things to my parents about things. That doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I've had to. Not being mean or anything, just direction-wise. No, don't do that, please. This is why we do this way. Right? You don't let relationships, aunts, uncles, different people like that. You got to watch people's influence on your children like that, right? Watch that. Got to be careful with that. Kids' hearts are easily stolen. They're easily given away. They're easily taken. They are very easily taken, children's hearts are. They're very easily taken. And people try to do it a number of different ways. They'll try to buy your kids off, or they'll do things like that. They'll give them big extravagant gifts and things like that to try to buy their loyalty and things. Mm-hmm. Right. Give me the extravagant gifts, please. You won't steal my heart. Let me have it. But anyway, that's it's true. There's people that try to they try to wield that influence type thing. And not by the way, I'm not saying that if people give them gifts, it's wrong. What I'm saying is you got to watch. Right. You got to be careful with that. I've had to talk to people before. Other members of the church, I've had to talk to them before about the way they dealt with my children. Their influence maybe some of their counsel or something like that was a little bit over what they should have done. And I've had to say something before. And you will too. That'll come up sometime. It may come up. It may happen. You know, you try to do it with wisdom and guidance and love and compassion because you know they mean well. But I like what he says here. Even seemingly innocent things such as Boy Scouts. I hardly think Boy Scouts is innocent. You want to talk about the biggest homo recruiting center ever. And then I go over to the store the other day. And I'm walking in like Cub Foods or one of those stores, and the Starbucks lady that works at Starbucks, I remember she told me like a year ago or something that in Target, she told me, yeah, my daughter just joined the Boy Scouts. Remember that? I was like, and then I saw her out there trying to sell Cub Scout stuff. And I'm like, I mean, I just walked away, but you know what you want to say is, but you're not a boy. Don't your mom know you're not a boy? Well, you're not a boy. You don't belong in there. One of these things. One of these things do not belong here. Right? You remember that? Which one of these things doesn't belong here? I think it's that one. But the Girl Scouts, I mean, you want to talk about, it's the same thing. Look, what's that? No, they don't let boys in, but it's the point is, no, they just support Planned Parenthood. They sell cookies and they support Planned Parenthood and they give money to Planned Parenthood. That's what the Girl Scouts do. Is that what it is now? It's all gay. One grandmother wrote about how the Boy Scouts program is having a negative influence on her grandson. I'm raising and homeschooling my 14-year-old grandson, and I've registered him in the Boy Scouts. Well, that was a mistake. The parents' leaders are wholesome, but they aren't saved. And, of course, the boys are not either. They provide a secular influence in his life that I am uncomfortable with. Well, that's easy. Pull him out. Okay, letter's over. He has witnessed to them with his God and church merit badge. There's a God in church merit badge? Look, I'm using it. I think I'm going to send my kids into the public school to be missionaries. I literally have said, you've heard that one, right, Paul? You've heard that one? I'm going to send them so they can be missionaries. Look, let me be honest with you. My son, my daughter, my children, they're not qualified to be missionaries, okay? They're not. Right? And even if they were, I sure wouldn't send them into a public school. Right? I'm going to talk about the worst indoctrination center ever. But he's witnessed with his God and church merit badge, which raises questions. And since we're very close, he tells me about some scouts swearing and other problems in the troop. We discuss these and I point out what is wrong and why, but this is a church teenager with a foot in the world. Why'd you put him in there? Parents need to be involved in the choosing of close friends. It is much better not to have close friends than to have friends that influence them in the wrong way. This type of wisdom and involvement is doubtless why this pastor has had joy of seeing all of his grown children serve the Lord. That's true. That's good. As we've seen, the discipline and supervision must not stop when children reach adolescence. Teenagers need more attention and supervision, not less. Some people think, well, as soon as your child hits teenagers, you can trust them more and you don't have to supervise them. Man, I was a bigger idiot as a teenager than I was as a 12-year-old. And the older I got, the dumber I got with it. Right? Isn't that true? Right? you need more supervision, especially in those formidable years of understanding when you're getting to that point of going out. Need a lot of help with that. The key to making godly parental oversight work is to maintain a close and loving relationship with the child, to keep his heart and her heart, and not allow some foreign influence to enter in and steal the heart away. Otherwise, they'll rebel. You know, we want to try to keep their hearts as best we can. That's the goal. Next week, we're going to talk about principles for entertainment. And we'll deal with some of those of proper entertainment and things like that, or entertainment, how to weigh out entertainment and different things that we do with that. But, you know, the thing that you have to understand that we always have to remember is our children are our responsibility. They always are. And we have to be the biggest influence in their life, and we have to be the right influence in their life. Amen. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. And we just pray you'd bless this week. And thank you, Lord, so much for all you've done. Thank you for the house of God. Thank you for the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Thank you for your people. Lord, bless us now as we go, and bless this week. Keep us all healthy and safe. Help us to return again to serve you and to live for you. And help us all week long as we do that, Lord, to have the right spirit and the right heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.